Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of Eyes on the Right podcast. I'm your host, Amy, and hope you all are doing well. I got a lot of great feedback from my interview with J.R. Sweet a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to thank you guys for having an open mind, all of the positive things you said. I think it's really great to give people like J.R. and Nathan Reynolds and others a voice to speak, a place where they can talk and share their story and heal because of that. So I wanted to thank you guys for all of the positive feedback that you gave. So shifting gears a little bit for today, I want to dive into the year 2024, the year of the aliens. And last year we saw an increase of just articles and a lot of social media pushing of aliens, reptiles, UFOs, whether it be in more political type arenas or celebrities pushing alien type music or clothing like Kim Kardashian, I'm thinking of with her Skims ad and marketing. But it really is interesting because this idea of aliens is being pushed quite a bit. And I'm sure you guys are knowing what I'm getting at. It's the 10-foot aliens that were apparently seen at the mall in Miami. And I'm not going to talk too much about that because that, in my opinion, is going to be one of many sightings and news articles, media pushing of the alien agenda. I really feel like this year and moving forward, we're really going to see a lot more of this. In fact, I'm looking at an article right now from Forbes, and it's entitled 2024 is shaping up to be the year of tall aliens. And I want to read to you guys a little bit from this article to set the stage. But more importantly, I want us to start with this question. Why are they pushing this agenda? That's the deeper question. And we're going to dive into discerning and truth and what's a PSYOP and what isn't a PSYOP. And we're going to talk about how we can really learn from what the media is pushing and use that to give us wisdom and discernment. But we always have to start with the baseline being the Bible, because I see a lot of people out there, they have excellent pages, excellent podcasts, they're very knowledgeable in occult, you know, symbolism and decoding, and they're very astute in, you know, the history of the sacred sciences and the Alamantra workings and Aleister Crowley and all the sorts. But what I see time and time again with many of these symbolism decoders and people that are very knowledgeable, they're missing the critical aspect, and that's the Bible. And they're not pulling that in, they're not talking about that. And so as smart as they may seem and as knowledgeable on the subject that they are, when they miss the Bible, they're missing the whole thing. And so if you as a listener are listening to these types of people and you don't have the wisdom and discernment from God to navigate what is truth and what should be thrown out, then you're going to be deceived. I mean, I can't even make that sound any nicer. You will be deceived. And so I really encourage you guys, test everything I say, test everything you are hearing and you are reading, because people will mislead you, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, they will deceive you. So going back to this article, Forbes article, 2024 is shaping up to be the year of the tall aliens. And it goes on to say how 2024 has barely begun, and already we have these pixelated videos of apparently tall aliens. Now, we've already seen this idea of aliens even in, you know, all throughout history, right? For decades, right? But they're really pushing it now. And I think a lot of this is being pushed because of what's going to be coming down the line. And we're going to talk about that from a biblical perspective. We're going to define it so you guys understand some of these terms like Nephilim, aliens, etc. Where does that come from? How does that fit into scripture? And how can we navigate that in a way that gives us wisdom without getting pulled into all of this deception? So going back to this article, it says, what happened with the tall aliens? And it goes into talking about the two viral extraterrestrial stories. And the first one you guys all know about, it's the aliens that apparently visit the Miami Mall. And you've got two camps of people out there pretty much. You've got one camp that says this is a conspiracy theory, it's a PSYOP, it's this, that, and the other. You guys are getting distracted. And then you have the other camp that says, listen, there's testimonies, there's people coming out saying they've seen this these things. We know that there is a spiritual realm, right? And so where do we land? How do we even look at that? Where do we land? Do we land in camp number one or camp number two? Well, I would like to offer a different way of looking at this. Every true psychological operation, right? A psyop. This is a term that was used typically by the military, but psychological operations are used on us all the time. In fact, it's a great way to control the audience, to get them to believe a certain reasoning or motive, or to reinforce certain behaviors, okay? And so when you look at a psychological operation or a psyop, there has to be truth in it. If there isn't truth in it, then people aren't going to buy it. And so as we look at the camp number one, like I mentioned, you have people saying this is a psyop. Well, there's truth in the psyop. That's what makes it a good psyop. And on the flip side of that, the best psyop ever is the one where it's truth hidden in plain sight, where people are so primed and so brainwashed that now they don't even know what truth is and what truth isn't. I'm going somewhere with this. So when you look at a psyop, really the term is motivating a target audience to induce behaviors and motives and control them. That's essentially what they want. There's different types of psyops, but very simply stated, this is the idea here. And what I believe they're doing is they are mixing truth with deception. You have people that are going to say, write it completely off. They're going to say it's a psyop, it's a distraction, don't pay any attention to it. Okay. The second group are the people that are saying, listen, there's something to this. And this group will, you know, be taking anything and everything that the media puts out there, and they're going to take it as truth. And so I suggest for us, and those of you listening to this podcast, can we take a neutral approach? Can we look at this situation like the aliens that we're going to talk about today? Can we look at this in a way where we've got to understand that they are going to prime us and they are going to put programming in our minds to desensitize us, to get us to react in a way that they want? And so even going back to this article, you have people who are like, give us evidence, right? You have those people all the time who are like, show me something, show me proof, show me proof. In fact, one person tweeted, stop telling me there are aliens or Nephilim at the Miami Mall, then not show me any GD aliens, not even a sketch. I mean, these people have a point, right? And yet we've got to understand that we live by faith, not by sight. We know that the Bible tells us that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities in high places, dark forces, okay? So coming from that baseline, coming from that, we know that there are supernatural beings. We know that there are supernatural entities, principalities, etc., that are in this earth at this time. And when we go back to the deluge, we know from the book of Enoch that the fallen ones, offspring of the fallen ones and women who mated, were what Enoch says are the demons of today, the demonic spirits. And that can get really confusing for people that don't have a baseline with that. So I'm not going to talk too much about that today. But essentially, if you're looking at these Miami aliens and the other alien sightings and things like that, you've got to understand that there is a neutral balance. New age, occultism, people that come out of spiritualism and, you know, practices like that, a lot of times they will either A, say, wow, yeah, there is a spiritual realm and I've seen it and we absolutely need to be on guard. You will have other camps of people that come out of the new age who say, these people are crazy. There is no such thing as demonic entities. Christ has put them under his feet, which he has, but they're not finding the balance there that we do battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. And so you have people that are spreading information that isn't a balanced approach, and that will lead us into deception. And so these TikTokers, Twitter, you know, TikTokers, not Twitter anymore, it's X, but you start looking at these people that post online and you see varying degrees of what people think is going on and what isn't. And this is the idea that I want to talk about today, because we have to understand there is a spiritual component going on with this stuff. And we know that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. This is why you have to know your Bible, because if you don't know your Bible and you don't believe in it, then you're going to be so misguided. You will be like a ship in the ocean tossed to and fro. You will have no clue where to turn. And this is why we see so many people just jumping on bandwagons left and right. They don't know God. They don't know His word. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I know I teach that and preach that a lot, but you guys, I'm serious. This is the real deal here. Like, we have got to get to a point where we've got to say there has to be truth. You cannot have varying degrees of truth. Truth is truth, and that truth is built off of the Bible. And so when we look at the Miami aliens, there's people who are coming out saying they saw them. There's people coming out saying they saw shapes shifting. There's even some videos that show some pixelated, granulated, you know, black figures kind of moving around. Now, whether those are true or not, we don't know. Could it be? Yes, absolutely it could be. We know we don't battle against flesh and blood. So we know that, right? But can we also go on the other side and say, I need definite proof? No, we can't, guys. You can't get definite proof when it comes to the spiritual realm. You will not have definite proof, physical, visual, definite proof 100% of the time. It's not going to happen. So for all of those people out there saying, I need proof. Well, you know, then you're going to be misguided, because the spiritual realm, most aspects of it, you can't see. Okay. But you can feel the effects of it. And so the second viral video was apparently in Brazil on top of an island hill. Now, somebody was filming the footage. They said that there were 10-foot figures that appeared to be moving very quickly on top of this hill. People again said it's a joke, it's blurry, you know, all this, that, and the other, it's pixelated. And so again, it gets put into two camps. It's either a farce, it's trolling, it's a conspiracy theory, or people are believing this actually is happening. And I think the best way to approach this, again, is to come from the middle ground. And what happens is, too, is discerning this is when people start to see like the aliens and things like that, what happens? They immediately want to know more. And if you're using drugs, if you're into the New Age, if you're working down paths of spiritualism, you know, away from God, it's going to have people potentially say, I want to encounter these beings. In fact, you will hear people saying that I have channeled these beings. I have spoken to these entities. You have shamans and others that, you know, are mediators between demonic entities and the physical world. And so there's this enticement for people to want to create experiences to encounter these spiritual beings. And this is dangerous, because they're creating bondage and demonic strongholds, and they have no clue why. They have no protection. They have no hedge of the blood of Christ around them, and they're just dabbling in things that are bringing them into even more demonic bondage, more spiritual bondage, and potentially a lot of physical danger as well as spiritual danger. So you've got that, and then you have people online and social media who are saying these types of things, but they're not bringing in the Bible. They're talking about portals, and they're talking about, you know, ley lines, and they're talking about all of the magic workings, but they're not talking about it from a biblical lens. And so while they may be giving you knowledge, they're misleading you, because, okay, great. Now what? What do you do with all that information, you guys? I'm giving you information on here. You're getting information from Instagram posts and TikTok and podcast, but what are you doing with that? Is it helping you? Is it giving you more wisdom and discernment? Is it growing your walk with Christ? Is it helping you discern to warn others? Not necessarily. In fact, a lot of people that reach out to me are like, I'm nervous. What do I do with this? How do I do this? And my first question always is, well, do you believe the Bible? Because if you believe the Bible, then you have authority. Jesus made an open show over these demonic entities. When he rose from the dead, right? Like, we know that, but you don't know that if you don't have a personal walk with him and you don't know him, right? It's like, I have a personal relationship with my husband. I know him. I can finish his sentences. Why? Because I spend time with him. I spend a lot of time with him. I talk to him. You know, I sit with him. I ask him questions. And the same is true with Jesus. It's not about a religion, guys. It's about a relationship with your creator. And this is the part that I can't stress enough, because I see so much deception online. And it's frankly, it's disturbing. It's really disturbing. So when we get back to this article, it continues on. It starts talking about, it gives both sides. In fact, another person tweeted, "There are grown tax-paying adults forming conspiracy theories over this obviously fake video. We live in a society." And so again, you've got the two camps. You've got the one saying everything's fake. You know, they're desensitized to this. They think there's nothing to it. And then you have the other people who are overly doing it, overly jumping into wanting to know more, more, and more. And they're missing the neutral approach. And so going back to 2023 and now 2024, we've seen the recent Miami aliens. We've seen the alien, the gray alien from Nevada that was apparently 10 foot tall as well. We had the lady on the plane who said she saw a reptilian. We've got the Brazilian aliens on the top of the hill of recent. We've also got the, apparently the Mexican authorities were talking about these Peruvian aliens they had. And then we have a lot of people talking about Nephilim. I mean, I don't remember there being any other time in the last 2 to 3 years specifically that people have talked so much about the Nephilim and what they are. And we're going to get into that. We're going to define that and see, you know, I'm going to let you guys know kind of what that means just very simplistically. But you even have Roseanne Barr, Tucker Carlson, you have like major celebrity political figures that are coming out talking about Nephilim. Okay. And so this is really interesting. Again, go back to the initial question. It's not so much, is it real, is it not? But the question with the media is why? Why are they pushing this now? What can we learn from what they're doing to give us an insight as to the schemes of the enemy, right? There has to be a reason why they're pushing this right now. So it's interesting because when you look at the book of, when you look at the Bible and you read about the story about King David and Goliath, Goliath was said to be about 9 to 10 feet tall. Now, it varies with people because the cubit, which is what they use to measure, is typically from the elbow to the fingertip, the middle finger, right? And so cubits, depending on if it's a royal cubit or not, can vary depending on if it's the longer version or the shorter version. But he was thought to be anywhere from 9 to 10 feet. And he essentially was a giant, and the giants were in the earth in those days. And so it's funny that they're using this 10 foot measurement. And I thought that was interesting that they said that. But so with this surge of wanting to know more, specifically with the aliens, but really with the supernatural, you've seen an increase. In fact, in this article, it says TikTok conspirituality is spreading. It says online commentators have long noted that TikTok has ignited a surge of interest in the paranormal. TikTok's algorithm is known to box users inside narrow niches, so subcultures thrive on the video sharing platform. Believers in aliens, fairies, witchcraft, and ghosts are constantly validating each other's supernatural experience on TikTok, many inspired by pop culture tropes. Popular TikToker Collette Reynolds, recently dubbed the Conspiracy Queen by Rolling Stone, was one of the content creators who jumped on the Miami Mall alien story. Even after the supernatural elements were debunked, it says, Reynolds still claims to believe, and her take on the situation is straight out of Netflix Stranger Things. I'm going to keep reading. She said to Rolling Stone that she believes the Miami Mall incident was connected to the Large Hadron Collider, the world's biggest particle accelerator. She said where there were kids in that mall that apparently opened a portal that allowed these 8 to 10 foot tall creatures. There were multiple witnesses that said this. I think these demons are starting to get into our world to prepare, and they know that their time's running out and it's getting closer and closer. Notably, in the same interview, Reynolds admits she doubled down on her conspiratorial commentary on TikTok after noticing that the subject increased her engagement. 2024 is still young, so time will tell if the tall aliens trend will continue or not. Okay, what did you guys get out of that? People like this woman are saying some truth, but she noticed that her views doubled after she started talking about this conspiratorial commentary. people will put out anything for likes and follows and clicks. And oh my gosh, this is proof in the pudding right here. I mean, this woman is literally telling you that she believes that the demons are coming into our world. Now, let's look at this as an example. We could look at her and say, she's a conspiracy theorist. It's all a psyop, blah, 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 right? Or we could say, oh my gosh, demons are coming in. What are we missing? We're missing what scripture says. Scripture says, do not fear. Scripture also says, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. Scripture also tells us that it will be like the days of Noah in the end before Jesus Christ returns, the Son of Man. And so while this woman is speaking partial truth, she's not pulling in the full truth. Do you guys follow? Are you tracking with me? This is the part where you've got to realize that you're going to see a lot of truth out there. In fact, the best psyop is truth. It's truth hidden in plain sight. And they will desensitize you and brainwash you to believe that real truth is a psyop. They'll do that. And they will also get you to believe that the deceptive truth is really the truth. Okay? And that can get confusing, but it doesn't have to be confusing. I'm not confused. In fact, I look at these types of things and I think, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to help me formulate something to understand this a little bit better. And if this is just, you know, a bunch more fluff to get people kind of primed and ready for the real big event that will be coming down the line, we know this, then so be it. But not everybody thinks that way. In fact, there's a lot of people that jump on these things so quick, so fast, and it brainwashes them, it primes them. And this is exactly what the enemy wants. He's using social media to prime and prep us for a bigger event that's going to come down the line. And so you can kind of look at it as like $100 bill. Okay, there's people that have worked in the banking industry, and I know we're going digital, but when you look at a $100 bill, those that have worked in with money, they've held and handled a $100 bill so many times that if they were to encounter a fake $100 bill, they would probably know that it was a fake. But the people that don't handle money, inspect it, look at it, handle it, touch it day in and day out, they will be fooled by the fake $100 bill. Why? Because they don't know it. They don't look at it. They don't inspect it like somebody who would work at a bank would. This is the same idea. This deception is like a fake $100 bill. It looks the part. It looks good. Actually, there's truth in it. But the real deal isn't there. And the real deal is only what comes in God's word. And that's the thing. Satan is an imitator. He can't create anything, but he can take information and twist it. He can take this alien sensationalized stuff and twist it in a way to either push you to a narrative of thinking it's all just hocus pocus, a conspiracy or a psyop, or it pushes you into the other realm where you're so obsessed about it that that's all you can think about, and or you're summoning these things to try to communicate with them. And so you see where this deception really lays a foundation for you. And if something bigger comes down the line, are you going to be able to look at it and say, oh my gosh, is that real or fake? I mean, look at some of the Bluebeam stuff. Look at some of the stuff that they have at concerts where they have these like portals of people kind of coming through, and they're these animatronic looking things and they look so real, and they reach out of these portals of the sky and it seemingly looks like they're grabbing you. I posted something the other day and it was something just like that. I can't remember where it was at, but it was projected up in the sky and it looked like this demonic entity was coming out of a rift or a portal in the sky, and it was reaching out at the crowd. And if you could hear the crowd, they were like, oh, wow, ooh, ah. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, people are just so clueless. They're so clueless that anything and everything could come to them disguised as something innocent, or even just, oh, you know, that's no big deal. That's just fake, right? That's just make believe. And they don't realize that this is how the enemy is going to trick them. So a couple of other things I heard about the Miami aliens, and that I've heard a lot lately, is that Miami was the portal. In fact, people will say that, you know, spirits will come in through a portal. Now, is portal a biblical word? I would venture to say yes, it is. In fact, when you look up Strong's word number 2374, it's thura, and it means door, portal, or entrance. And in fact, it coincides with the verse where Jesus says, I am the door. Now, even looking at Jesus saying, I am the door, is he a physical door? No, he's a spiritual door to enter into. So even in that regard, it's almost as if Jesus is the portal to the Father. You cannot get to the Father unless you go through the door or the portal or the thura, which is Jesus Christ. So even in this context, you're seeing that Jesus is a spiritual door with which you have to enter into. And it's interesting because when you look at this Greek word, thura, it is a door, a portal, or an entrance. And I think it's just really interesting because when we look at portals and we look at the opposite of a portal, biblically speaking, what maybe the occult would look at it as, is it's often, a portal is often utilized through a geometric shape. And this is why you see triangles, you know, you see the Bermuda Triangle specifically with Miami, but you see this sacred geometry. And in fact, when you look at a pentagram, it is a geometric shape, right? You see angles, you see shapes. Mathematics and science is very much integrated into the sacred sciences that the occultists will use to manifest or bring about a desired outcome. And this idea of a triangle, I mean, you see it in the Illuminati, right? You see them make the hand sign. You see the sigils that they make. And this is really important. It goes back to harnessing the energy. Portals are used to harness an energy, the energy being the spiritual or demonic entity that's trying to move through. Portals can be a shape. It can be a pyramid. It can be an archway. It can be a sigil or a pentagram on the ground. This is why you see in witchcraft, they will make a magic circle and the person will stand in the middle. Why? Because it has to harness the energy somewhere. It is a spiritual being trying to manifest in the physical. And it's really interesting when you start to look all throughout, even, you know, you look at Washington, D.C., you look at the pentagram, that is the Pentagon, right? You look at all of these shapes that are utilized in just the architecture throughout the world. And it's really interesting because when you start to understand this a little deeper, it starts to make sense why shapes were utilized for the occult. There is actually the Order of the Nine Angles, which is a satanic left-hand path type organization. But again, you see the nine angles, right? You see the pentagram is utilized a lot in Satanism. In fact, I heard an ex-Satanist testimony one time, and he said that he became a Christian, but he said that when he was trying to harness in demonic energy, he would draw or write a pentagram on the back of his head. His head was shaven. And that spiritual entity, that demonic entity, would come into that sigil in the back of his head. He wanted it for enlightenment, for understanding, and sounds pretty scary to me. But my point is utilizing these shapes like triangles and such and pentagrams to harness channel energy. It's a portal. And again, going back to Miami, you see the Bermuda Triangle. Again, you see that shape. There's a lot of people that have talked about that area being highly conductive, you know, that there's a lot of energy there. And I think there is some validity to that. In fact, we know that our world is made up of energy and frequencies, and this is how God designed it. It's how he created our world, right? And yet you see people take that to an extreme where they're obsessed with frequencies and those types of things. And again, we got to find the balance in it. But when you take this idea of portals to an individual level, the enemy tries to use us individually, our temples, as a portal. And what do I mean by this? The enemy needs a host body to come into. And if you open yourself up to occultic practices, Ouija boards, Satanism, astrology, psychic readers, channeling demons, ayahuasca, you name it. If you open yourself up to that, and or if you open up yourself to occultic practices that use your body as a channeling source, and you don't have the blood of Christ over you to help you, you will open yourself up to demons. And this is why Aleister Crowley utilized yoga for this matter. They believed that doing these yoga poses would invoke demons easier. And, you know, take that or leave that. There's been a lot of people that have talked about yoga and the effects of yoga when you're utilizing it in a practice and where yoga has derived from. It's derived from Eastern practices. You guys can research that for yourself and come to your own conclusions. But the truth of the matter is high-leveled occultists who practice the dark magic use yoga. They use it. And this is the idea. They're putting their bodies into certain formations and certain poses to invoke. And this is what, when you see celebrities and you see politicians and people making the triangle down in front of them, in front of their waist or above their head, they're utilizing these mudras to almost indicate and manifest what they want. And so when the triangle is down, it is indicating the yoni, it's indicating the female energy. When it's up, it's the male energy. And they're utilizing these, you know, sacred practices, these mystery religion practices. And, you know, it's a real thing. And they really do get occultic powers from it. It's part of their occultic practice. And we would just, you know, be remiss if we didn't understand this, if we didn't realize that these people are out there doing these types of things on lesser or greater magic, right? But going back to the Nephilim, I want to talk about this a little bit as we kind of wrap this up. So the word Nephilim is trending right now. And like I said in the beginning, there's so much talk of the Nephilim right now. I've never seen the likes of it. Just people talking about it, which is great on one hand, right? You see people like Roseanne Barr and Tucker Carlson, like I mentioned, who are bringing this up in their conversations on podcasts. And where the word Nephilim comes from is actually in Genesis 6. And this is that verse that many of us know. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And so this idea here of giants is this word Nephil. Okay, this word Nephil in the Hebrew, Nephil, is giants or the Nephilim. And really, when you break it down, when you look at the Strong's definition, it says a bully, a tyrant, or a giant. Okay, when you start to look into other translations, it talks about those who used to interpret this passage of the fall, the angels were accustomed to render rebels, apostates. Okay, so there are these rebellious, mighty men of old. And when you look at Nephilim and you see in Genesis that they were there before the flood and they were also there after the flood, this has brought a lot of confusion and a lot of wonderment with people, specifically those that study the Bible, as to how did they get there afterwards. We're not going to dive into that today, but the point of the matter is they were there before and they're thereafter, and they called them Nephilim. Now, there were different tribes of these giants, Anakim, Raphaim, you've got all the Eames, right? And these were thought to be men and probably women that carried this hybrid Nephilim gene DNA. And I have my own theories about that, and maybe I'll get into that one day, but the fact of the matter is these Nephilim were in the earth also afterwards. And when we look at demons and we start to try to understand what demons are, where did they come from? The Book of Enoch 1, not 2 or 3, just the Book of Enoch 1. We can use it as extra biblical literature, but it tells us that the offspring of the fallen angels and the women were Nephilim, and it was their dead spirits that became the demons roaming around on the earth, right? And so that's where I would say most people that study the Bible scripture, I think most would agree upon that. There's probably some variations there, but when you look at that and you start to think that, okay, there's not only Nephilim that were on the earth that were physical people, right, that had these genes. There was also Nephilim that died in the flood. Where did their spirits go? Because they were not human. And so many people believe that these demons are what roam and try to inhabit people, what torment us, what try to inhabit our temples. And when we look at this, it's really interesting, because going back to this idea of a portal or utilizing our temple as a means for channeling these demonic spirits, this is what they're after. This is what they're seeking. And this idea of Nephilim trending, I think, is really interesting, because a lot of people are looking at these demonic entities that are either coming back, right? Or they are, or some of them are already here. Their spirits are here. They're the demons, and they're trying to inhabit the bodies. So I bring this up and mention this because I think that a lot of us have misconceptions about what is a Nephilim, what does that look like? And while there are variations and different theories out there, I think the bottom line is we know that there are demons. We know whether they came from the fallen Nephilim, like the Book of Enoch says, or there was some other way they are here. The truth of the matter is they are here. They have temporary access to this physical world because Satan is a prince and power of the air. And we know that we don't battle against flesh and blood. And so whether they're coming in through portals in Miami, whether they're trying to manifest and show themselves, whether they're trying to find human or hybrid bodies to come into and utilize, I don't know. I think it could be all of the above. I think that when we limit ourselves to thinking how the enemy is going to operate in these end days, we really do ourselves a disservice. And so even with me saying this, you know, I hold loosely and allow God to change my mind if he needs to. And that's okay. It's okay, you guys, to say we don't have all the answers. It's okay to say, you know, I don't really understand this. I'm trying to search this out. I'm asking God to help me. I think there's a lot that we're never going to know. And I think there's a lot that we're going to discover that maybe we were in error about. And as long as we're humble and we can come and, you know, have these open conversations and such and try to work this out, I think that's a good way to be. And when we talk about Miami, it's really interesting because I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about, they had some great stuff. They really did, but they missed the whole part about the Bible. And, but what I gleaned from the podcast was that Miami is by the waters, and the water kingdom is really something that I think a lot of people don't understand. I don't claim to understand it myself, but I did a huge study and a workshop on it. The Marine Water Kingdom. You guys can find that on my shop. It's like a 90-minute teaching, and it's very in depth biblically about the water kingdom and what that represents in the Bible. In fact, I believe that the water is more important than we realize, and the water kingdom, meaning spiritual entities in the water, I believe is one of the biggest misconceptions and lies the enemy has thwarted on us. They have us looking up. They have us looking at the sky, thinking these people are going to come back. These aliens are going to come back from outer space. I'm air quoting. But really what's happening is underneath our feet. It's under the waters. In fact, I want to read a verse to you guys. This verse is in Job 26:5, and it says, "To whom have you uttered these words, and whose spirit spoke through you? The dead tremble, those beneath the waters and those who dwell in them. Sheol is naked before God, and Abaddon has no covering." And this is one of many verses that talk about the waters. And again, I did a deep study on this. It's in my shop on my website in the link below. You guys can, it's $7. You can listen to it and take notes. It's very in-depth. But essentially, this word dead in the Hebrew in this verse is Raphaim. And Raphaim was one of the tribes of the Nephilim. And it says the dead or the Raphaim tremble. So it says that they're literally fearing, they're writhing, it's this Hebrew word cool, and it's almost like trembling under the waters, okay? And those who dwell in them. And in that same context, the author puts in hell, which is Sheol, and Abaddon, which is destruction. And I really believe that there is more about the watery grave. I actually think that Sheol is in the waters. I do. It says in this verse that the dead or the Rephaim tremble, those beneath the waters. How much of our waters have never been ever explored or mapped? Why did Ghislaine Maxwell, why are those types of people obsessed with submarines and waters and the oceans? Because, you guys, there's things under the waters that we don't know about. And I got a lot of slack for that. I even had somebody make a post saying that I was misleading people about the marine water kingdom. And it's furthest from the truth. It's in our scripture. And I think that there's a reason why people, even in Nineveh of Jonah's day, why were they worshiping a fish god? Why would they ever worship a god that, you know, had human legs but looked like a fish? Why does the Pope wear a fish hat of Dagon? There's so much more with the water that we don't understand. And it's just fascinating to me. But going back to this idea, when you look at the aliens and kind of circling back to what we talked about in the beginning, the year of 2024 is apparently, according to Forbes, the year of the aliens. And when you look at UFOs and you look at aliens, and you hear about a lot of the sightings, even down in Antarctica, it was up from the waters. It was up from lakes and up from mountains. The UFOs were coming from below. They weren't coming from above down. Now, there are sightings in the sky, and we know that, but the UFOs coming up out of waters and lakes, I think that's very telling. And I think there's a reason why the waters are playing an important role in all of this, specifically even in Antarctica. And somebody said that the reverse coordinates or something like that of Miami is actually Antarctica. I find that really interesting. I don't know much about that, but I think there's a lot more that God is going to uncover. I think he's going to show us in the days ahead. And it's up to us to kind of step back and wait, you guys. Step back, wait, watch, pray. Ask God to show you what's the junk, what's the truth. Don't jump on every bandwagon. Not everything is a psyop. There has to be truth. And this is part of the deception, is they want to make you believe that the truth isn't there. And that's just not true. I mean, we can even look at Jeffrey Epstein, and you think about the whole Epstein Island. And while I do believe that was a distraction, it is to try to get us focused on him being the boogeyman, right? And we do know that there was a literal island. We do know that there was literally young women going there. We do know that child trafficking is literally real. So I say all this because there is truth mixed in with the deception. But it's up to us to have the wisdom and the discernment to be able to navigate and sift through what's the junk and what isn't. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast today. Hang in there, test everything, keep praying and asking God to show you so that we can navigate and be discerning in the days ahead. I hope you guys have a good day. See you next time.